Morning Drive, take two. Good morning, all. It is take two of the Morning Drive with Will and Jake. We're coming to you live from the fifth floor of the Regenstein Library, suite 504. We should probably get right into it for purposes of time. Let's start with arts this week. We had a stellar article from Senor Jake Biddle, senior Shakespeare columnist, about a play that we last week discussed in spades, Henry V by the Dean's Men. Jake, why don't you take us right into it? What's his thoughts?
He dives right in the review. He takes a major swipe at the general public right in the first paragraph, and I quote now, "But the general public, I have noted, is almost always wrong." And, you know, I'm reading that. You know, I consider myself to be a member of the general public, and I'm reading that, and it's like a slap in the face, you know? I'm always wrong.
Well, now hold on now, to play the devil's, to be the Biddle's advocate here.
Yeah, very nice.
Thank you. You did know nothing about Henry V last week, and you know nothing now.
This goes beyond that, you know? Okay. Probably the main reason why the general public doesn't give a damn about Shakespeare anymore is that they assume his work is A, low on explosions, and B, low on genitalia jokes. And frankly, that has nothing to do with why I don't give a damn about Shakespeare anymore.
Why don't you give a damn about Shakespeare anymore?
I don't know.
Well,
maybe I never did give a damn.
Okay, so Biddle is mostly right, at least about you. I enjoyed the review. I did. I published it. I put my name on it. I was also not a fan of the insults. I'm not really an insult comic. I'm more topical. But, you know, far be it from me. It's well written. The Dean's Men performance was apparently good, we should say. That's a first.
Very highly regarded.
He can't say enough about director Scorsese. We should say his first name.
His
name
is Source.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Damn it. Sounds better, Scorsese. Jonathan Source and crew have put out a stellar production, according to Biddle. So, you know, go see it 2 weeks ago.
How about his last paragraph?
Yeah, let's get into
this,
that.
This is my... After the, you know... hyperbole of that first paragraph, we get into possibly the most understated sentence in theater review history here.
Right.
"The best Source can do here," and I'm quoting, "in the fourth and fifth acts, is present the scenes one at a time, the way they were written." I mean, let that sink in for a moment.
Yeah, it
that must be tough.
It works on a lot of levels. Let's think about this. It's often the case that you'll go to a major Shakespeare production and you'll be flummoxed because, in fact, Romeo will die and then they'll meet two scenes later.
Yeah, yeah. The last time I saw Richard V.
Yes.
I Henry V. Richard III.
Well, yeah, whatever.
I don't give a damn about Shakespeare.
Right.
I don't even.
And probably because every time you've seen it done, they've done it out of order. You know.
Yeah, I mean that's why I don't like it.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's defeating his own argument.
Right, you're right.
You know, the general public isn't wrong.
It's just
these reproductions of Shakespeare, the directors are just not adept to put the scenes in order.
Well, this is the first one, and this is a major leap forward for Shakespearean theater. They're doing it in order.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what's going to happen next. The Dean's Men, revolutionary. I'm surprised they haven't been mentioned in Red Eye Chicago at this point, because...
Yeah, great publication.
One of the better. Okay, so that happened. You know, everyone should have gone to see it. You didn't see it, but you can catch them next quarter when they put on another Shakespearean play. I bet it's going to be...
It's Richard V.
It's Richard V. Yeah, they're doing...
little-known Richard V.
They're doing mashups now.
Yeah.
So that was arts. Let's move on. Sports talk, Jake. What happened?
Okay, so busy week. I'll just focus on the two main storylines. Chicago football are UAA champions for the first time in, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal, folks. They're bringing home rings. They beat Case Western last weekend. We're in the presence of champions now, so be careful what you say.
Be careful when you insult UChicago sports.
Yeah, be very careful. And second bit of news is tomorrow, Saturday morning, women's soccer will take on Illinois Wesleyan University in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. And that arguably is an even bigger deal.
We're going to win?
I'm crossing my fingers and my legs.
And your toes.
You know, and my fingers. I said that.
Well, your other fingers. Anyway.
Yeah, so it's a big deal. Get out. They're hoping to break their all-time attendance record of What is it?
10, I think.
10, 15?
10 or 15.
Yeah.
Mostly parents.
Mostly parents.
But I'll be there, so.
We'll be there, I'll be there. It's going to be a fun time. Bring your hot chocolate, bring your ham warmers.
We'll be announcing it like Lee Jordan and Harry Potter when they play Quidditch.
Yeah.
It's not Quidditch, though, but okay.
It's like Quidditch without the brooms or the snitch or the wizardry.
Or Emma Watson, and that's the real kicker. We should probably get into some surprising, well, not surprising, some expected but not good news. In the last day and a half or so, those rascals, the UChicago Electronic Army, have been at it again. I say this because, as you all know, last time they attacked our campus, I wrote a beautiful and well-received op-ed about this very subject. And I thought I had defeated them because they haven't shown hide or hair of themselves since. Probably crawled back into the basement from which they came. But in fact, they are ostensibly back. I won't run through the series of events. It's very convoluted and complex. But essentially, they allegedly hacked a student's Facebook profile, posted some alarmingly sort of, I don't know, tired racist 4chan bullshit. And people are very upset. A fellow student of mine and good friend, Teddy Nemec, has written a beautiful Facebook post in which he postulates that it probably was not, in fact, the original Electronic Army, if such an organization even exists. It was probably a copycat hacker. Regardless of who it was, it's bad. It shouldn't happen. And, yeah. You know, speaking from the position of authority that I possess, which is that of an upper-middle-class white guy, I condemn these attacks. Jake, where do you stand?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Mm-hmm. I think just from everyone here at the Morning Drive, we just like to put out the old fuck you to whoever is responsible.
The old fuck you is our sort of heaviest ammunition against these kind of attacks. It's all we can really do in moving forward. But
also, I suppose we should talk about Zimmer's email.
Oh, let's get into it. Zimmer responded. So.
And the FBI is on the case.
The Federal Bureau of Investigations is on the case.
I'll believe that when I see it.
When you see them walking around in those big jackets, you'll know. At this point, we can only assume that it's like Zimmer at a computer typing away trying to figure things out. What's this Facebook thing? But
FBI? What does that stand for?
But Zimmer's a little out of it at this point. Yeah. But
we are led to believe that he does now have a Facebook account.
Yes.
So if you want to add him as a friend, I'm sure he'd appreciate that.
We're also led to believe that he was not, in fact, behind the attacks. Mr. Zimmer, as we know, is an irreverent troll. He posts on the boards.
Yeah.
So it may have been him. Jeez. But until we know more, we'll just continue to do nothing, as everyone on campus does about this. So, all right, that's the UEA. Fuck those guys. Onto the big Facebook news of the week. It's Michael Phelps. And more importantly, it's Michael Phelps' self-proclaimed girlfriend. Jake, the Daily Mail is reporting that Michael Phelps' alleged girlfriend, we don't know if any of this is true because it's the Daily Mail, but has revealed to the Daily Mail, no less, that she was born a male. Now, before we begin a insensitive diatribe about transgendered people, let me just say, it is in fact the nature of the reporting and not the nature of the fact that she was born a male that is, I find, particularly egregious in the sense that this is essentially a non-story about a person who proclaims himself as Michael Phelps' girl. We don't know if Michael Phelps knows about any of this.
So here's the thing. Let's just listen to this headline.
Yes, you know, go ahead.
It sort of sums up all the problems in one here.
Yes.
Michael Phelps' self-proclaimed girlfriend, and that's in quotation marks, age 41, reveals she was born a male, as she describes her amazing intimacy, that's another quote, with Olympic swimmer.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, the first thing to note here is that there really doesn't seem to be any evidence that she is Michael Phelps' significant other.
No. They're never pictured together in this male's reporting by Mr. Chris Spargo. Chris, how dare you? You are no journalist. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. Chris Spargo.
If that is your real name.
Yeah. Sounds made up to me.
Sounds like Michael Phelps himself wrote this. Anyway. No, she's not. Shut up. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so... And the first line here, because the Daily Mail's readership typically can't do full paragraphs.
They do a series of bullets.
They've broken down the entire story into six different bullet points, which tells you about how substantive it is. And the first one is this. Michael Phelps' self-proclaimed girlfriend, Taylor Leanne Chandler, has revealed she was born David Roy Fitch. So, I mean, first of all, I think we have reason to be suspicious that she was actually born a male. It's possible she was actually just born with a man's name.
Yes.
I mean, the reporting is, you know, for lack of a better term, shoddy.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's something definitely working in with, you know, worth checking into. It's possible her parents were just kind of assholes.
Yeah, yeah.
Called her David.
But to counter that, the Mail is also reporting, according to the second bullet point of this bullet point series, that Chandler is intersex, and they go on to describe what that means to their idiotic readership who don't have never seen that word before. Daily Mail, for shame. I mean, that's been said before, and that's all we can really say. But, you know, I think more importantly, the news that we wanted to report was this mysterious glowworm. Ladies and gentlemen, according to the Facebook newsfeed, in the Peruvian Amazon, a green predatory glowworm with visible insides has been discovered in the rainforest. Quote LiveScience.com, mysterious glowworm.
And the glowworm, much like Michael Phelps' self-proclaimed girlfriend, is in scare quotes there.
So what's mysterious about this worm? I mean, is it because it glows?
Well, that's why I don't understand. What makes a species mysterious? It's a glowworm. What's so mysterious?
Well, they've already found it, so I can't really imagine what the mystery would be, unless it was fake.
Self-proclaimed Peruvian glowworm reveals he is, in fact, Chilean glowworm.
He's an expat. That's the weird part.
Expat glowworm discovered in Peruvian rainforest.
He was born a man.
Yeah, glowworms are notoriously xenophobic, so
I know.
Be careful.
I mean, obviously, we'll like be following the story as it breaks. Okay. Well, that was your morning drive, I believe. Once again, morning drive presented by Divinity School. Divinity School, where God drinks coffee, featuring flavors such as Turkey Trot and Black and Tan, and their newest addition to the lineup, Jesus Arabica, which is good. Jake, closing remarks?
Yeah, keep warm, guys. It's cold out there.
Stay warm, drive safe, and
as ever... Go Marines.